My verse that I chose for my talk is Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And I'm going to come back to this at the end of my talk, but what I'm going to talk about right now is distractions. It's really easy for us humans sometimes to get distracted with everything that's going on right around us. And sometimes it's hard for us to take a step back and look at the big picture of what's really going on. And I think a perfect example of this is all those science shows where they talk about how big our universe is compared to our small little Earth. And when you're watching it, you get a sense of being small and insignificant. But 20, 30 minutes later, the feeling's gone, because you're back to the distractions of your daily life. You're back to your normal routine. And it's kind of the same way with our walk with Christ sometimes. I've heard people talk about how they feel really close to Christ, but then a couple weeks later, a couple months later, they find themselves drifting and they don't know where they are. And so what I want to talk about is, first of all, how can we stop the sliding in our relationship with God? And I think another way of putting that is, how can we be serious with God? And if we're going to be serious, I think we need to be able to look at the big picture of what is Christianity. And if you go all the way back to the beginning, it's we were all created perfect. We were all perfect beings. And then, of course, sin came to the world and we fell down to the muck and mire that we're living in right now. And the only way that God could ever bring that perfect peace back to the universe is if he sent Jesus Christ to come die for us. And that way he could bring us up out of the sin and muck and mire we're living in right now, back to God's level. And I think of this kind of like you're walking down the streets of Spokane, and you look down one of the alleys and you see a drug addict sitting there. And he's filthy, he's pathetic, and he's high on something. And you think, wow, how far he's fallen from society's standards. But the crazy thing is, the drug addict doesn't see it. To him, he's just doing what he's always done. And it's the same way with us sometimes. We've always been living in this sinful world, so we can't really see how sinful it is. But God's the one that can look down and sees how much we need him. And I think this is the good news of the gospel, is that God wants to make us happy. And if you're going to make a drug addict happy, you don't just leave him on the drug. You try and get him off of the drug. And it's the same way with us. We're the drug addicts to sin, and God doesn't want to leave us on our addiction to sin. He wants to get us off of it. And then it does come down to kind of a choice, whether or not we'll allow God to come into our heart and take away the sin. When Nicodemus came to talk to Jesus, he was trying to start a conversation up. And the first thing that Jesus responded with is in John 3, verse 3. And it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So what does it mean to be born again? Born again is the same thing when Paul talks about being a new creation, being a new creature, walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. It all comes back to a surrendering to God. And sometimes we look at that and it's a little scary. We think, how can I overcome the sin in my life? Or won't we always be sinning till we die? And I think another way of looking at it is to think of an experience we've had where we felt really close to Christ, like the best you've ever felt, the closest you've ever felt. At that time, did you feel like sinning? No. Because your eyes were focused on Christ. You wanted to follow him. And I think all we need to really worry about as Christians is keeping our eye on him. And this is something that I think I struggled with the most in my spiritual life. I was the type of Christian where I would say my prayer in the beginning of my day, and then I would go to classes, go to breakfast, go to school, go to sports, and then you come back to your room and you realize that you hadn't given God a second thought the whole day. And it's something I struggled with for a long time. And the only thing that started to change it in my life is when I started having my own daily devotions. And daily devotions, for me, they kind of just changed my mindset, Because yeah, it told you how you should live your life, but it also told you why and who you're living your life for. And I think that if we have a focus, if we're focused on Christ, we don't need to worry about just being good people. It's something that will come naturally. We'll want to become like him. Now, most of you guys know that I do like sports. I like to play sports. I like to watch sports. And I think it's funny, whenever I'm watching players like LeBron James or Tom Brady, that after they play, I want to go practice. It's like I see them as the goal, and I want to become like them. I don't have to force myself to go practice. It's something that I want to do. And it's the same thing with our Christian walk. When we have daily devotions, or we just spend time with God, and we put our focus on him, he's our example. And we don't have to force ourselves to try and be good. It's something that we'll want to do. It's all about where are we putting our focus. And sometimes we struggle with that. Everybody does. And that's why we're sometimes called the Church of Laodicea, because we don't always put our focus on Christ as much as we should. And in Revelation 3, verse 14, there's a letter written to the Church of Laodicea. And what I like about this letter is that it doesn't just talk about all the bad things, like they're half-hearted, they're lukewarm, or they're not taking God seriously in their daily lives. It gives the answer to the problem. So I'm going to read in Revelation 3, verse 19. And it says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." So going back to the beginning, it says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Sometimes when we get a glimpse of how perfect God is, it shows us how sinful we are, and it makes us feel gross. And that doesn't happen because God doesn't love us. It's because God wants us to see that we need him. We need to surrender our lives to him. It says, "Be zealous, therefore." I think of that as saying, be diligent. Take it seriously. And repent. If we're putting our focus on Christ, that needs to be our number one priority. And we can't allow sins or thoughts or actions to come in between us and God. And then I like how he kind of just leaves it up to a choice. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come into you. If you don't, I can't." And this brings me back to my first verse that I read, Philippians 2:12. And the part I want to zero in on is where it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And I think if we take a step back for a moment and we look at the big picture, what's the whole point of us being here on earth? Why are we here? The only reason we're here is to either choose God or not. And if you actually think about that, that's a pretty serious question. So what I want to ask tonight is that we all take some time to think about our relationship with Christ. And maybe think about our thoughts, our words, our language. What do those say about where we're putting the focus in our life? And maybe we need to think about the choices we're making right now or the choices we'll make tonight. What do those choices say about where we're heading in our life? And the thing I want to encourage the most, probably, because it helped me the most, is to spend time with God, spend time reading our Bibles, because that's what forces us to put our focus back on Christ and make us want to become like him. And sometimes we get distracted. That's what Satan tries to do, right? But the question that I want to ask tonight, and I believe it's the only thing that really matters, and it's something that I want us all to be honest with ourselves about. My question is, where are we putting the focus in our life? And then the second part to that is, what do we need to do to put the focus back on Christ?